The following Northwest Regional News Story was produced in cooperation with a consortium of public radio stations in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho.
This November, voters in Washington and Idaho will cast ballots on property rights measures. Before you vote, you might want to consider what's happened in Oregon. 2 years ago, voters there passed Measure 37. But as correspondent Austin Jenkins reports, it hasn't been a clear victory for people who want to be compensated when the government regulates their land.
Dennis and Ellen Von Wald are retired and living out their golden years in the hills of Washington County, Oregon, halfway between Portland and the Pacific Coast. Their home sits on 13 acres with a view of the mountains to the west.
You've got forest land. You've got just quiet. Peace and quiet.
Just over a nearby hill, the Von Walds own another 37-acre parcel. They bought their property out here before 1973, when Oregon enacted some of the strictest land use regulations in the nation. Those rules essentially prohibited the Von Walds from ever subdividing their land, something they had planned to do to help fund their retirement.
It's not fair. It's taking my rights away, rights that I bought and paid for.
Flash forward to 2006, and the Von Walds now have the law on their side, sort of. Oregon Measure 37 requires government to compensate property owners when regulations reduce the value of their land, that or waive the offending regulation. Once it passed, the Von Walds promptly filed $1 million-plus claim against Washington County. Instead of paying the claim, Washington County gave the Von Walds the right to subdivide their properties into 9 home sites. But there's a catch.
How do they say that we won the battle but lost the war?
Yeah.
I think it's something like that is where we're at.
It turns out, at least for now, Measure 37 waivers cannot be transferred to a developer.
I have to build it. I have to build it and finance it myself, that no bank's going to do it.
You can't subdivide and sell?
No. As far as I know, if you subdivide, you have to tell the person that, hey, you can't build on it.
This means 2 years after it passed, the intent of Measure 37 has yet to fully deliver. Property owners are frustrated. They're still limited in what they can do with their land. Professor Sheila Martin at Portland State University is tracking the claims filed so far.
What you'll see is with over 3,000 claims, not much has happened on the ground in terms of development, and that's because of the huge amount of legal uncertainty around the measure.
We refer to this time period as the calm before the storm.
Eric Stashen is communications director for Thousand Friends of Oregon, the organization that led the fight against Measure 37. In the short term, he's relieved construction has stalled in many cases. But he says if you sift through the claims, there's reason for alarm.
Claims for things like gravel pit, an expanded garbage dump next to a winery, a pumice mine in a national monument, many, many claims for large subdivisions. What we've seen is essentially a lot of potentially really awful development in pockets of the state that are rural by nature.
Measure 37 backers say opponents continue to cry wolf.
Well, I think the headline is that Measure 37 has been the most overhyped measure in the history of the state of Oregon.
David Honeycutt is executive director of Oregonians in Action, the sponsor of Measure 37. He says the reality 2 years later is Measure 37 has cost government much less than was predicted and amounts to a blip on the map.
The measure has affected right now somewhere under 150,000 acres of land in Oregon. And so we're talking about 0.25% of the state's landmass.
It's expected the question of whether development rights can be transferred will continue to be fought in the Oregon courts. If the Washington and Idaho property rights initiatives pass, similar legal fights seem likely. I'm Austin Jenkins reporting.